Thank you. Good morning, everyone. So here I'm going to present some soil incubation data on nitrate leaching and ammonia loss under different management practices. I would like to take this opportunity to acknowledge my co-authors, Drs. Payne, Su, Yu, and Dr. Richard Ferguson, who is also my postdoc mentor at UNL. So the motivation behind this study is this two-year field data from Mary County, Nebraska. Here I have 2 years, dry year of 2009 and wet year of 2011. On x-axis, we have different end rates, and on y-axis, corn yield data. And nitrogen sources, PCU, it's a polymer-coated urea, which is ESN and UAN across both years. And in 2011, there is also UAN with two additives, one with Instinct. Instinct is nitropyrene, which is nitrification inhibitors. It just slows down the conversion of ammonium to nitrate. And UAN with Nutrisphere, it's ureas and nitrification inhibitors both. And it stands out here in wet year, the corn yield was less than in the dry year across all the nitrogen sources and nitrogen rates. And among the nitrogen sources, you see PCU stands out quite well here, very consistent high yield compared to other UN treatments. So this was a farmer's field, so no nitrogen loss was measured. So that's why we went ahead and, as a follow-up, did this soil incubation study. Tried to measure nitrogen losses through volatilization and leaching by trying to simulate the weather pattern, basically the precipitation patterns in the field, hoping to find out some mechanisms that would explain the corn yield that we saw in the field. So quick through my experimental design, a randomized split plot design with the precipitation pattern as the whole plot. We simulated wet and dry year in the field. So wet year, there was precipitation about 135 millimeter in the first month after nitrogen was applied. And in the dry year, it was about just 25 millimeter. And in each whole plot, different nitrogen sources, UAN, UN with Nutrisphere and Instinct and ESN. And the fifth one was control plot. And this this had four replications. So my experimental units soil acrylic chambers, tubes were used about 50 centimeters tall. So before packing in the soils, I put the ceramic plate on the at the bottom with the paper on it so that soil doesn't enter. And on the lid of the pack, after filling in the soil pack up to the depth of 15 centimeter, then we had about 4 centimeter head space where I put my acid traps in the form of that sponge. And at the bottom, the base of the column, I could put in some suction to get leachate, if there's any leachate at the bottom of the soil packs. So nitrate leaching and the ammonia traps were carried out on certain dates. And at the end of this 31-day experiment, we destructively sampled the soils to look at the residual nitrogen. So right into the results. So I have ammonia volatilization here segregated by the wet and dry using. On the x-axis, days after nitrogen was applied, and on the y-axis, accumulated ammonia loss expressed as percentage of the applied N. So pretty much it stands out in the wet, as expected. Ammonia loss was pretty less compared to the dry regime. And in the dry treatment, PCU had a very minimal ammonia loss, about just the 6% of the applied nitrogen. And in the UAN treatments, UAN alone and UAN with the Instinct and UAN with Nutrisphere, a majority of the ammonia loss occurred on the first 10 days after the nitrogen was applied. with the nitrate leaching, in this 31-day incubation study, no leaching was observed in the dry treatments. So in the wet treatment, again, after the on the x-axis, you have days after application of nitrogen, and y-axis leached at the percentage of applied nitrogen. PCU stood out with a very minimal leaching of nitrate. And in UAN treatments, the additives, ink stained and nutrospheres, seems to reduce a little bit of nitrate leaching compared to UAN standalone. But however, all these UAN treatments had higher leaching compared to PCU. So ANOVA table, on the first column you have treatment, nitrogen source, precipitation, and then the interaction of nitrogen source and precipitation, which was significant in the case of volatilization loss. And as you saw in the previous graph, the significance of interaction was mainly due to the fact that PCU didn't have different, PCU had a volatilization loss in both precipitation regime pretty much similar, unlike UAN treatments. UAN treatments had higher volatilization loss in the dry treatment compared to the wet. And nitrate leaching was only observed in the wet regime, and as we saw, UAN had the greatest of all nitrate leaching, and PCU had very minimal nitrate loss. So while doing this study, we were curious about the nitrogen status in the column during this process, and we couldn't do it because we had to keep our samples so that the column so that only at the end of the study we could destructively sample it to see the residual nitrogen. So I redid this study just on a finer time scale, just for 10 days, and then each rep of the treatment, we sampled it on day 2, 4, 7, and 10, just to see how the soil profile had the nitrogen status. And for on this plot, you have ammonium across the soil column, and on day 2, so on the dry side, we don't see much ammonium movement, but on the wet, in the wet treatment, on day two means a second day after nitrogen is applied, ammonium was noticed up to the depth of 16 centimeters. So in the soil column, ammonia was moving down. We didn't measure urea, so it could have been urea leaching too, which is pretty possible in the coarse textures like ours. And sometimes it's said that urea could be accounted for ammonium that you see in your extract solution. But we just, either ammonium itself, ammonium or urea, it seems to be moving down the soil profile. But with the nitrate, again, in the dry treatment, no nitrate movement was observed. But in the wet, it was pretty obvious how nitrate was moving down the soil profile over the time, over this period of just 10 days. And by the end of the day 10, most of the nitrates are accumulated at the bottom of the soil packs. And that's when we observe our leaching in the wet treatment. So back to our main study. I tried to put together all the nitrogen that we measured to see the recovery percentage. Last column is the total nitrogen recovered, and as you notice, it ranges from 60s to high 90s. So certainly some of the nitrogens must have been incorporated into the non-extractable forms or been lost through denitrification, which we didn't measure in this study. And in the second last column, for PCU, some of the nitrogen was still left behind the granules. And the two other columns, soil residual nitrate and ammonium, if you notice there, in the dry treatments, quite an amount of nitrogen was still left in the soil after 30 days. And I remember my graduate work in Minnesota, we found while comparing between irrigated, fully irrigated, and minimally irrigated studies, though during the season we observe more leaching in the irrigated treatments, which is pretty obvious, but when you look at the post-harvest residual nitrogen and the nitrate leaching in the following spring, the total amount of nitrate loss through leaching can be higher in dry treatments, actually. So we have to note that here, there's a lot of residual nitrogen. And from first two columns, I mean second and third column, ammonia volatilized and leached, probably it explains the question with which we started our study. We saw that in the wet, how nitrogen loss was much more compared to the dry treatments, though the process of loss is different, but the amount of nitrogen loss in a wet regime was much higher, and probably that explains what we saw in our cornfield, where yield in the wet year was much lower than in the dry year. And among the nitrogen sources, PCU seems to really have less loss, either through volatilization or leaching across the years, and probably that explains why corn yield was greater in the PCU in that field. So certainly most growers understand the risk of applying all nitrogen in the beginning of the season in coarse textured soil. But having said that, it doesn't mean that it's out of a practice that still majority of the nitrogen is, or even all nitrogen is still applied in the beginning of the season. Then that gives rise to risk of losing nitrogen through various pathways. When it is dry, the loss is very significant through volatilization. And let's say if it is irrigated, if nitrogen is irrigated in or we have timely rainfall, then volatilization loss may be reduced, but then there is a risk of significant loss through leaching. And among the nitrogen sources we evaluated, UAN, when added with additives like nitrification inhibitors or both ureas and nitrification inhibitors, it seems to help reduce nitrogen loss. But in our study, PCU really stood out with very minimal loss through volatilization or leaching loss. So with that, I think we have a couple of minutes for your comments and questions. Yeah, we tried to take care of a little bit as we could. So our columns were left at the temperature of 25 degrees centigrade during the daytime, and then about, I think, 18 degrees during the night hours.
Yes, please. I'm getting pretty old, and one of the slides, I couldn't really look your ammonium movement in the columns. I'm just curious, when you made the comment about ammonium leaching versus it could have been urea, what was the movement for ammonium out of your PCU, the controlled release urea?
What was I did get the last sentence.
The column movements, mm-hmm. When you showed a slide with the four graphs, different products moving ammonium out of your column, wet and dry situation, you said it could have been urea. I couldn't see what kind of movement of ammonium you had from a polymer coated urea treatment. Did you have any ammonium detected in that column?
No, the majority of ammonium that we found was in the UN treatments.
Okay. Thank you.